Blog Talk Radio.
The Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad.
And on Wednesday, I listen to GQ Palace Radio with the Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Shay. And I want to say I love chilling with the Diva Squad on Wednesdays, talking about our love thing. Shout out to the GQ Palace. It's Buddy Baby.
Buddy Baby. Buddy Baby. Baby. Baby.
Hey, it's Selena. Heard the best place to be is chilling with the Diva Squad on Palace Radio. Love Fantasy is Buddy, Buddy, Buddy.
The Diva Squad, Squad, Squad.
This is Kylie Shaw, and on Wednesdays, I listen to the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio. Safety, 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 safety.
They was playing, so I hit my homegirls and told them I can't stay in. Try life, look on me, that's how I see. Stepping out, down the rocks, no supreme. See, it took about an hour just to fit it in these jeans. And I don't see no way in the future, all the same. I bet you wishing that you had me back. And on my frame now, when they catch a track. So could you please holler at me when they catch a stack? And I heard the new girl that you have is whack. I got that web, web, word is foul. What you hollering about? Money talk, keep quiet, baby, let your dollar shout. And I got what you want, bet I'm never running now. Checking in, that's
Welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Love Fantasy with your Diva Squad. I am one of the hosts, Miss Storm, and with me I have Miss Ray Queen. Ray, you in the building?
Absolutely. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Loud and clear.
All right.
Just want to, of course, just start off by saying, you know, just thanking God in advance for allowing us to do the show today. It's definitely been a stressful week, so we're definitely giving all the honor and the praise to Him directly. No one else is, you know, can get this kudos but Him directly, and we're just thankful to be back in the building here on GQ Palace Radio. Love Fantasy is every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. The number to call is 646-716-9789. You can check us out. It's usually three of us. Miss Mabetta is not going to be in the building. Hopefully she'll pull in later on. But we're just happy to be in the building, back together. Ray, how you been?
All right, all right. I cannot complain. How about yourself?
I've been pretty good, pretty busy, doing pretty good. I can't, you know what? I'm not going to complain. I can, but I don't think everybody can hear my complaints that
exactly.
I have. So I'm gonna keep those to myself this evening. Keep those to myself. You know, those
some
little complaints, you know.
Between, yeah. Some things are just between us and God.
That's right. And I'm gonna leave it right there. You know?
Amen.
So definitely happy to be back on the air with you. But
likewise.
I wanted to just catch up, you know, just on what's been going on, you know, with us, you know, and then as far as some topics for tonight, because it's so much gun violence going on and there's so much domestic violence going on. I figured if we could talk about both of them, you know, just a little bit about both, you know, on tonight's show, that would definitely be good. I know a couple people are doing like some gun violence rallies to stop the violence. So that's something, you know, that's definitely big, you know, that's going on. I wish more people, you know, would do the stop the violence rallies, but you know, it takes time, I guess, you know, and as each situation happens, you know, more people are starting to be aware, you know, because they're affected, you know.
Exactly.
So I wanted to just touch base, you know, tonight, just to, you know, touch base about gun violence and, like I said, about domestic violence, because domestic violence is real. Gun violence is real. You know, if you listen to the news, if you have family members, you have friends, you know, you might be in contact with, someone has been affected by one of these issues, you know.
Definitely.
So, you know, with tonight's show, definitely want to say, you know, rest in peace to Darnell Smith. You know, he was a victim of gun violence, you know, and as I looked online to see different topics and stuff that we could discuss and different, you know, different stories that has been out there, just July 4th weekend alone, there was so much gun violence in Long Island alone, not even nationwide, but just in Long Island alone, from that Wednesday to that Sunday, it was so much gun violence. And, you know, here on GQ Palace, we definitely say that, you know, we do not promote any type of violence whatsoever. You know, gun violence is something where people, you know, I like to say you pick up a gun if you can't defend yourself, you know. I remember back in the day they used to have, you know, just good old fights, you know, like you win some, you lose some, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, you
just a fist fight or a little wrestle or something.
Exactly.
That's it.
You know, that was it. And back in the day, they used to say, okay, you know what? If we're going to fight, we're going to fight. I might lose, I might win, whatever the situation is, but it's going to be a fair fight. It's going to be something one-on-one. It's going to be with our hands, you know, and sometimes you might have to take that L, you know. Sometimes you might have to, you know, because you can't beat everybody, you know. So I wanted to just ask you, like, as we talk about gun violence and we talk about how it has affected our community as well as nationwide, what's your intake, you know, on that? I know me personally, I feel like, you know, people who bring guns to parties, like, come on, what happened to a good old party? You know, what happened to, you know, if I'm upset with you, I'm just upset with you. You know, if we're going to fight, we're going to fight. I'm going to lose, I might win, whatever the case may be. But it was a fight, you know, and I'm going to say a good old fight back in the day, you know, where now people bring guns everywhere, you know, and
everywhere.
Not for nothing, it's so easy to purchase a gun. which makes it 10 times worse. You know, I was reading an article, and the article at first, you know, they were trying to say that mental illness plays a major factor in gun violence. You know, and I'm not saying it doesn't if the person does suffer from a mental illness, but I just feel like you shouldn't use mental illness as the excuse for bringing a gun to me. You know, I don't think you should, you know, I don't think you should bring that. So what's your input on, you know, the gun violence?
I know one thing. That to me, that mental illness thing is a cop-out for a lot of people. But it just so happens that some of the people that do that have been doing some of these wild and crazy things with the guns do happen to have some type of depression or mental, you know, psychological issues. But let's go back to what you, when you first said something about around the 4th of July. In my town alone, I remember hearing of there was a drive-by, two drive-bys, and a stabbing. Now, this was just in my town alone that I heard of that weekend, you know. And these guns, like you said, they get them anywhere. All you have to do is mention to somebody that you need a gun. And then they're going to mention to somebody they need a gun. Boom, bam, next thing you know, you got a couple of guns to choose from. You know, and it's so easy to get guns. Now, I can't speak upon these big, humongous guns that these people are using, you know, to shoot up these crowds and stuff. I don't know how they're getting those big guns, but apparently it's just as easy to get a big gun as it is to get a small gun.
Right,
and,
right.
People that have no business using them have them. Now, like you said, back in the day, now, we're older, so and I know that some of our listeners are, you know, our listeners range from, you know, ages of, you know, 18 and to us who are in our 40s. I'm not going to say exactly what 40s I am in, but I'm in my 40s. Now, when, like you said, when we were younger, it was just a good old, oh, you want to fight? Oh, such and such want to fight? Okay, we're going to give them their heads up. And then if one of their girls or one of their boys jump in, then we'll throw another one of our boys in or our girls. And, you know, it was just a fair fight. Then it would fast forward in time a little bit. You get, some people jump in the next one or, you know, then you fast forward a little bit. Then you had people hiding razors in their mouths or having razors in their pockets or whatever. And then, you know, it escalated. And then now you don't. There's not even a family gathering. Now I'm talking about just a family barbecue without someone having a gun in their waist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now at a party, imagine how many people have guns in their waist.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that at that party that our great friend Darnell got shot at, I guarantee you that there was more than that one person.
Right.
That was there with a gun.
Right. Guaranteed. You're right. You're
and it's
right.
sad. It's scary. Because you don't want to, I know myself, I'm not trying to get shot. And my own family members have parties and barbecues. I myself had a couple of parties last summer. And I'm grateful for that nothing popped off because I got some wild ass nephews, you know. And I'm grateful that, you know, but I also have a niece of mine that graduated and they want to host a graduation party in my backyard with big tents and with, you know, renting tents. And I'm talking about a humongous party. And I'm thinking, I might just have to say no because I know how some of my nephews and, you know, nieces and some of their friends are. I might have to say no because I know that a couple of them, unfortunately, you know, are about that life. And I'm scared
it's
going to happen at my house, so I have to think twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. But see, the sad part about it is that you have to think twice about who you're inviting, you know?
Yeah.
You have to think twice of, is this group going to have a problem with this group? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Is there bad history? Is there something negative or whatever? And then we got to remember that once liquor plays a part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once liquor plays a part in this,
yes,
that makes it 10 times harder, you know, because
yep,
I'm going to say sometimes I believe that when people do drink, just in general, that it does
uh-huh
change, you know, it changed their demeanor a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, it changed their demeanor.
Plays a part.
Right. It changed their, you know, I'm not saying in this situation, but I'm just saying
uh-huh
in general, you know, when people do drink, sometimes people can't handle their liquor. You know, sometimes
yes
they say that brown juice makes you want to fight, you know.
It's
what they say, you know.
Yeah.
They used to say the brown juice makes you want to fight. But some people,
yeah,
it does make you want to fight. It makes your tolerance
absolutely
level different, you know. And I'm not just saying the brown juice. I'm just in general. But it is
uh-huh
saying that that brown juice does make people angry and makes them want to fight.
You know, from a young age, when I started going out and partying, I had my very first experience of trying alcohol when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my whole everything around me. I couldn't see straight. I couldn't hear straight. I couldn't walk straight. I didn't like that feeling. So from that point, and I ended up getting date raped. So fast forward to, like, the next time that I had the opportunity to drink while out with friends, I knew from a young age that the only time I wanted to get nice was in the vicinity of my own private
home. Mm-hmm.
Home. So
right.
I'm like the designated driver, or if I am in the passenger seat or around my friends, you know, and they're drinking, I'm like that designated person that, okay, I'm going to make sure I know where the entrance was that we came in, where the exits
mm-hmm
are, where the, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm standing in the corner of the party where there's not a lot of people, so I have an exit plan. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I have to have a clear head at all times. I am, yeah. You never
right
know what's going to pop off.
See, I think that's me now, where I feel like you have to constantly watch your surroundings. You have to constantly figure out, okay, am I going to go to this party tonight? I don't know if I'm going to go to this party, because you don't
yeah
really know what's going to go on at this party, you know.
Right,
is it someone,
right,
you know, because, you know, I like to say, you know, people like to say, oh, I get along with everybody. No, you don't.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yep,
you might
yep
think
yep
you get along with everybody, but
exactly
reality is there could be someone out there who definitely don't get along with you. You know, they might
yeah
tolerate you, but they
yeah
might not get along with you, and you might
yeah
not know it. You know, you might not know that, you know, Sarah over there is feeling some type of way of maybe something I might have put on Facebook or social media
yeah
or whatever the case may be, or maybe me and Sarah exchanged words a year ago when she's, you know, that power of tongue, you know, gave her a bad tongue lashing and she's feeling some kind of way. You know, you
yeah
never really know, you know, and I just
yep
feel like when we talk about it, you know, like getting together and celebrating and stuff, is we have to be so careful nowadays. It takes the fun out of it, you know. Like,
yes,
I remember in the younger days of going to parties, and it was just a party, you know. It was a
yes
party. It was fun. You know, it was word of mouth to different people. But I feel
yeah
like when you allow other people that you don't necessarily deal with, you know,
mm-hmm,
I feel like when you
yeah
invite those people, different things tend to happen. And that's not saying you invited them. That's just saying
exactly
maybe someone that you know invited them, or maybe someone that, you know, posting up on social media. It doesn't say everybody from my friends list to come. You know, it says
exactly
I'm having a party. Come and celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been seeing that people have put, you know, come in peace, you know, come to celebrate,
yeah,
come to enjoy yourself, you know. But in all reality, it's like we want to think people are going to enjoy themselves and just enjoy
uh-huh
the company and the positive vibes, but you never really know. So
exactly.
I say that to say this. At the end of the day, we have to make sure that we're careful of who we have in our circles. And really,
yeah,
who they have in their circle, you know?
Yeah.
Because I might be cool with you, but I might not like your cousin. Or I might not
right
like your friend, you know?
Yep.
And I'm going to voice it to you so you know, so you don't extend the invitation to the next person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm
as we, you know, as we just go over a couple of different things dealing with gun violence, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, taking it to a different way. Like, a lot of people, they tend to, like, oh, I got fired from my job. Oh, I'm upset. I'm going to go shoot the place up. And then next thing you know,
uh-huh
they go shoot the place up. you know.
Exactly.
It's a lot of different things that happen pertaining to guns. You know, even back when they, you know, they shot the church up, you know, like, come on, what did they do to you in the church, you know?
Exactly.
The shooting that they just had, I think it was in El Paso or something like that, the shooting that they had there, like, really? These people, you know, people go to work or they go out some places and they expect to return the same way they left. They don't expect to be, you know, not to return back home, you know, and I just, I think people have to just take life more serious, you know?
Yeah.
Take it more serious because in your head, you might feel like, oh, I'm going to have a good time. Everything's going to be good. And then next thing you know, one situation can ruin everything. You know, one situation can ruin everything. And it doesn't have to be a deadly shooting. It could be a shooting where maybe a limb, you know, or something, you know, in your major organs. You never really know. So I feel like you don't know what that other person is thinking. So everyone just has to be careful. And, you know, on behalf of GQ Palace, you know, radio, I just want to say, for me, I feel that only cowards are going to carry guns. You're going to take that butt whooping just like that. You know, hopefully you're going to win. But if you choose to take it to the streets, take it to back in the day where, you know, it's a fight, you know. If you end up lumped up, you end up lumped up, but you don't win, okay, so you don't win. Just take that L, suck it up, and pick and choose the next person you feel like you're going to fight, you know?
Exactly.
So I just feel like it's so much going on, and with everything that's going on in the world today, we just have to be extremely careful with what's going on out there. And, yes, unfortunately, you have to watch your surroundings and other people's surroundings, too.
Absolutely.
You know,
some of these older cats I hear talking nowadays, I done got too old to be fighting somebody. If I don't like somebody, I'm going to shoot his head. I don't have the strength or the energy. Somebody I know, for instance, his hip is really bad. And he can't walk too well. So, I mean, first thing I hear him saying, I hear him talking about, I ain't got to worry about getting into a fight with nobody because, first of all, I'm too old. My hip is messed up. I can't walk. You know, it's not funny, but this person carries a gun everywhere. And, like, ain't nobody going to mess with me because first thing I'm doing is pulling out my gun because I know I can't fight like I used to, you know?
Yeah, but even with that, when you think of it, right, let's just talk about the older generation, then we'll talk about the younger generation. The older generation, yes, you know, back in the day, you might have been hitting hard, you know.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you're not moving as fast as you used to move.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Your arms not working as fast as they used to. You know, unless you're like fit and you spend your time. You know, sometimes that swing is a little slow. You know, it could be a little delayed. You know, where if you call yourself, okay, oh, I'm gonna carry a gun with me around because I know I can't fight. Okay, so that means shut your mouth, sit down somewhere. Because at the end of the day, I'm being honest, because it's going to take you a minute to get to that gun. Meanwhile, somebody else might have a gun, too. Their attitude might be the same.
Yep.
You know, so we have to just, you know, be careful and be, you know, and be mindful. Now, the younger generation, forgive me when I say it now, the younger generation, I feel, this is Storm speaking now, I'm not speaking on behalf of GQ Palace Radio. I'm talking about my own personal opinion. I feel that some of the younger generations, they're quick to pick up the gun because they can't defend themselves, whether it's verbally or physically without the gun. That's why they have to pick up the gun. And I want to say that as we're raising our children and we're raising our young men, we have to explain to them, no, you can't win all the fights that you might have. But the last thing you should be trying to do is pick up something to defend yourself. If it's a fight, let it be a fight. You know, if you're trying to go to a war, you better go to the gun range and take your frustration and stress out over there, because the bullet doesn't have a name on it. So you could I want to say a couple years ago, there was like a shooting where like a stray bullet hit someone, you know. Even with that, you never know. You know what I'm saying? Like if you look on the news, no matter which state you look at, guess what? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people. When I say a lot, it's a lot of children, a lot of young adults that have been, you know, killed or injured
due to a stray bullet,
you know?
Yeah.
So I just think we just have to, you know, be mindful. And as we're raising our, you know, our young men, our young women, we have to talk to them, you know, because nowadays there's a lot of people out there who don't have the family, so they resort to the people who accept them as family, you know?
Yeah.
And while you're being
accepted
as family, you're doing different things. You know, there's a million and one. I'm going to say a million and one. That could be exaggerating, but there's a million and one gangs out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the gangs people are, these are my family. This is my crew. These are the people that if I get in trouble, they're going to have my back. You're right.
Right.
But are they going to go to jail for you?
Right.
You know,
another thing.
They might have your back.
Yeah.
But are they going to go to jail for you?
That's another thing I was going to bring up. Got these kids, these people shooting people, and then when they go to jail, get arrested, you see them crying like little babies and begging their family to get them out and put up their whole house and everything
yes,
that
they
own to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were not thinking about that when you pulled that gun out and that stray bullet hit that little 14-year-old girl or that person who was, you know, innocent, you know?
Right, and that we have to look at, and I say as we raise our children, we got to make sure we explain to them that whether it's male or female, bullets don't have no names on it. So as you look around in the crowd and you see something that's not right, you need to exit. Don't try to stay and finish the party. No, no, no. You need to exit. Exit quickly because too many people. I remember here in Amityville, there was there was a little girl that got shot at her party by a stray bullet. And when I tell you, it was the saddest thing ever because it was her party. You know, this is her party. You came to celebrate her, but a fight broke out. Somebody brought in a gun, and next thing, and this was a, I believe it was a young group of, like, I don't even think they were 18. They were young kids.
Yeah,
coming
like
together.
The girl that got hit was like 14, right?
Exactly. But it goes to show you it's so many different things where people just have to be aware of it. These kids nowadays, I feel like they're a product of us, you know? And we have to install different things on them so that they understand. One, we teach them what's right from wrong, you know? We teach them, we try to help them pick the good group of people to hang out with. We try, you know?
Right.
But sometimes,
you
know, as much as you say, don't hang out with this group, then they hang out with another group. And then next thing you know, they sneak and hang out with the group that you said don't hang out with, you know?
Yeah.
So we just want to make sure that people are aware of what's going on. Speak to your kids. Have an open relationship with them. Speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to understand you don't have to wait until the party to now want to fight, you know?
Yeah.
If it's a beef before a party, honey, it's going to be a beef after the party. So just sit down, you know, or don't go, you know, do something else. You don't have to be in the spotlight or the line. You don't have to do that. You could just make sure that you don't bring yourself and put yourself in danger's way. And I say that because if you have to bring a gun to a place where it's supposed to be fun and positive vibes, then you need not be there. That's the setup right there. You need not be there. Stay home. You know, stay home.
Amen. Amen.
So I do want to give the number again, 646-716-9789. The lines are lit up, and we thank y'all for listening. You know, but if you want to go on the air, the good thing about GQ Palace is you could be whoever you want to be. You don't have to be, you don't have to give your government. You don't have to give your nickname. You could be anybody you want. You press the one button, you come in, you give your feedback on a topic. The first topic we did speak about so far was gun violence. The next topic that we will be speaking about is domestic violence. You can call in at any time within the hour and talk about whatever topic you want to talk about. We don't have to be talking about gun violence for you to talk about it. If you want to talk about it, if you want to express something, there's something that you know about it, there's something that you want to share with everyone else about it, you know, please make sure you press that one button. So with that being said, we do have our first caller. We're going to bring Sean on. Sean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Sean.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can.
You know,
I like what y'all were saying about the gun violence thing. You know, because you do have a lot of these little knuckleheads that come out here with this gun, and they think they tough. You know, gun brings, I don't know why, but a guy feel like they got a lot of power when they got a gun. Guys, whoever it is. But what happens is when they pull that trigger, a scared person is going to pull that trigger regardless of the fact.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared. They're going to pull a trigger. They're not going to think about the after course of it. Like when they get locked up, now they're going to start crying. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you got these young people out here. They're all gangs. All of them tough when they're together. But one by one, they cry like little babies because they're still young and they ain't experienced the real life. When they're around, everybody's around, all them tough. Oh, this, that. And I could truly say that because I witnessed it and I experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
I had a friend.
Right.
He told them they was going to jump him. Make a long story short. They was going to jump him. And he told them, if y'all jump me, and I swear to my kids, this is what he told them. If y'all jump me, y'all better kill me because I'm going to catch each one of y'all one by one.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't touch him. They didn't touch him. They thought about it. They didn't touch him. So my thing is, gun violence, it's serious. It's real serious. And they need to really realize, and I appreciate this topic y'all talk about, because, you know, people need to just realize that having a gun, it don't make you a big man.
Right,
it makes you
right.
a punk and a coward. That's what it makes you. It definitely makes you a punk and a coward when you walk around here with a gun. You know, you're not a cop, first of all, so there's no reason for you to have the gun.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Most of these people with them do not even have licenses.
Yeah, but you know what? Who do you blame in that situation? Do you blame the parents or do you blame the community?
Most of these parents don't even know that their kids have guns. Most of them don't even know.
Mm.
But that's the thing, you know. Forgive me when I say it. You know, people tend to, you know, have guns that people don't know that they have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people get guns, they don't get them the legal way, they get them the illegal way. Those guns might have different, you know, certain bodies on them. They might feel like, you know what, listen, like, at the end of the day, I need protection. I need protection because I'm out in the streets and somebody might rob me or something like that. But in all reality is I'm not saying you can't protect yourself. That's not what I'm saying. You know, what I'm explaining to everyone is you can protect yourself, yes, but you can also not allow yourself to be in unsafe environments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to be in situations where you know it could be a harmful situation. That I say when it comes down to, you know, the company that you keep, the people that you're around. As far as, you know, people shooting up areas and people shooting up churches and people shooting up airports, you know, you name it. When I talk about that, I say, yes, that you can't help it because you don't know what the next person is thinking. It could be like 500 people in that one area. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if that person has some type of ill will towards one person. It could be 200 people at the airport, and guess what? Those 200 people, 195 of them could be fine. But then you might have five that's not, and you can't help it if you're in that situation, and I get it, you know. I'm just saying that if you can prevent it, prevent it. If you can't, always know your exit. Always know a place where you can hide. Always know your surroundings, where if you have to run, you can run, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When people put you in harm's way, that's people putting you in harm's way. That's not you putting yourself in harm's way. So therefore, that's something when I say awareness, your surroundings, know what's going on, because people are dying. Innocent people are dying. People who don't even know you are dying because people are acting as if they're God moving around here, and you're not. Reality is you're not him. You don't have the right to take someone's life because you feel you want to take someone's life. And then later on, for people who shoot up big areas and, you know, common areas, like I said, whether it's a church or whether it's an airport or whether it's a store or whether it's a job, you know, those people, you have to be careful how you treat people, because sometimes that bullet might not be intended for you. But because you treated that person some type of way, that person wants to take your life too. So therefore, you have to make sure that you treat people with the utmost respect. You don't have to treat people the way they treat you. Trust me, going through it. If you treat people the way those people treat you, people say, okay, oh, treat people how you want to be treated. You're right, but guess what? Sometimes you get those knuckleheads, you know, where they're just, excuse my language, they're assholes from the beginning. So when they're assholes from the beginning, they're going to treat you disrespectful. They're going to be disrespectful to you. They're going to talk down to you. They're going to belittle you. Those people you're going to have to pray about, those ones right there, because that means that they have an issue with themselves, and that's why they're treating you the way that they're treating you, you know? So I say that to pretty much say I had went online and I had looked up a couple of different things. And when I was online, it kind of baffled me that there were so many different stories out there about different shootings that took place, you know. And there's only a handful of people that's trying to make a difference. And I definitely want to say, you know, shout out to the high school students that's in Port Jefferson, because all the way from June until now, they've been trying to figure out ways that they can do rallies to stop gun violence, you know. So definitely a shout out to them, because as young children, they're trying to make a difference. They're trying to stop it. You know, and it's terrible. And usually with that situation, it takes somebody to be harmed, to be killed, before someone does something. But to have a younger generation trying to make a difference, that right there is a reason why we gave the hand clap, because those are young adults that's trying to make a difference. Those are young adults trying to say, stop the violence. You know, we had a situation out here in Copeg too. Boy was supposed to be in school. Boy went home. I think it was on like a lunch break or something like that. He went home on lunch break. Next thing you know, someone pulls up, they start arguing, they start fighting. Next thing you know, he's dead. Boom, done. Just like that. A perfect day of going to school and doing the right thing because you're in school ended up in gun violence, you know. So I say all of this to say we have to make sure that we start with our younger generation so that there's more schools, more towns, more districts that's trying to do the same thing, that's leading by example, that's trying to stop the violence,
remember,
and they're not stopping, you know?
Remember when the saying was when we were growing up, it takes a whole neighborhood to raise a child?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was the fact. That was the fact, you know? I know in my neighborhood where I grew up, everybody, my town was small, so everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew what everybody was doing. And it was safe for us as elementary school kids to ride our bikes around the whole block, stay out for hours, as long as we knew to come back in, you know, at a certain time or whatever. And now keep in mind, there were no cell phones then. We only had house phones, so we just knew to listen to the rules. Times have definitely changed, because these neighborhoods, and in every single neighborhood now, you can't even say that it takes a neighborhood to raise a child, because we don't know what's going on, you know.
In the next person's house. That's
couple,
right.
Exactly.
Your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's a new app that I became a part of. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. Let me see. I don't know if you have heard of this. Hold on. Let me go to my phone here. There's a new app where you can see what, you can talk to your neighbors. It's called Nextdoor. Have you heard of it?
No. Mm-mm.
Nextdoor. Okay, I'm new to it, but you put in your information, you know, where you are, and you can actually chat with, you know, people in your neighborhood, on your street, and if something's going on within your vicinity, like there's a roadblock or, you know, somebody reported a stabbing or whatever, you're in this app with the neighbors, and they'll, you know, there's somebody's going to text you the information as to what's going on in your neighborhood. So I'm going to see what that's about. And
Well, you check it out, and you make sure you fill us in, you know, on that. Because
will.
I know years ago they used to have, like, a neighborhood watch, you know.
Yep.
The neighbor, we used to have that. I mean, I'm talking about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. They used to have a neighborhood watch, you know. But the people who used to watch your neighborhood back in the day, they're all elders now. So they're really not watching the neighborhood, you know. But when you talk about the younger generation, this is where the younger generation should step in, you know, and the younger generation should help out a little bit. You know, I wanted to just mention that I had mentioned that there was a shooting in El Paso, but there was also a shooting in Dayton that took place 24 hours apart from each other. So
yep. Ohio.
We have to make sure that we just make us alert, make us more aware of what's going on, you know. And it's sad that it's happening the way that it is, and people, innocent people are getting killed. But we definitely want to make sure that, you know, we look out for each other. You know, you create that positive environment around you. You allow people who are positive in your circle, when don't allow the negative to come in. You know, don't allow the negative to come in. And I'm going to say, you know, mental illness, to me, it isn't the major cause of gun violence in my eyes. You know, it's not.
Right.
It's, yes,
I agree.
It's an excuse that people use once it happens. Now people say, oh, well, they had a history of this or a history of that. Okay, I want to see doctor's records of where this person was treated for that, where they were able to get a legit diagnosis for a mental illness before you tell me that it's a mental illness, you know? Because a lot of us have suffered from depression, anxiety, you name it, we've been there. You know, a lot of us do. But that doesn't mean we're going to get a gun and shoot up the area and shoot up different people, you know? So we definitely want to make sure that we pay attention to that. Also, just wanted to touch on, wow, it's 8:43. I just wanted to touch on domestic violence as well. You know, I was watching something last night, and it was, I believe it was called Tales, I think it was. And there is this song that's out there, and I have to think of the name of it. And the moral of the story is it showed how, as parents, the parents wasn't around really to raise the daughter. They left her alone. You know, and she was living like in this big old house with this nice Mercedes Benz that she was driving. She had parties at her house all the time. And the parties that they had at her house, no parents, parents weren't there. They wasn't chaperoning. And they had drugs. They had alcohol. These are teenagers in high school. They're having parties all the time at this girl's house. They're getting high all the time. They're getting having parties. And the one girl, she pretty much, she got off by people being at her house because her parents wasn't there. So I think it was the company that she liked because she was always by herself. But what ended up happening is people started leaving her party after she might have had like 3 or 4 parties. People started leaving her party. And they were leaving her party because they didn't have any more party favors. The party favors for the young generation was the drugs, pills, liquor. Yes, those were the party favors is what they called them. So they got together and they went over to, excuse my language, this black girl's house. She was a white girl, and she had a friend who was Caucasian. The Caucasian was the person who was having the party in her house. And the African-American, it was her and her brother and some of their friends. You know, some of their Caucasian friends, and they actually went to the African American's cousin's house to buy drugs. So when they went to the African, they went to the drug dealer's house pretty much. They bought the drugs. They bought the drugs back, and he ended up giving them like literally, I believe it was crack. He gave them crack. He gave them heroin. He gave them pills. Like $2,000 worth of party favors is what it was. She came back. She put all the favors on the table. People was getting high all the time, okay?
Wow.
I say all of this to say the girl's parents ended up coming back home. When the parents came back home, their house was trash. They had red cups everywhere. Obviously, she had a party. So she was trying to tell them that, you know, you're never there. You know, your concern shouldn't be the party. Your concern should be what's going on with your daughter. Now, mind you, the daughter was, she wanted to be a journalist, so she got all these awards, like recitals. Different parties at the, different celebrations that she had, her parents did not take part in it because they were always traveling. So the end of the story shows you how the parents came home. She was so upset. She left the house. She went to the drug dealer's house, and she told the drug dealer she wanted to forget about the pain that she was experiencing. And he was like, you know what? I got something that's going to take you to heaven. Okay. So he said he got something that's going to take her to heaven. Long story short, she went in and they got her so high. They shot her up on her arm. They got her so high. She was out. She didn't even know that they were pretty much taking turns on her. They took turns on her. Her boyfriend, because she had been missing for 36 hours, he comes to try and find her. And the drug dealer's like, you know what, I'm going to put you to work. He gives him this big old pack of drugs and said, you have to sell this. I want $25,000. In 24 hours. You need to sell this stuff. So he gets his girlfriend. He takes her with him. And she's begging him to be with her. Like, it can be me and you. You promised me forever. You were always there for me. He's like, no, you're disgusting. But the middle part that I didn't mention is when they were high the night before, he had sex with one of their friends, and she walked in and she saw it. So she forgave him, but he couldn't forgive her when he walked in and saw this big African-American with all these muscles pretty much doing the do, you know, with his girl. So he's like, oh, you're disgusting, you're disgusting. So you could see all in her demeanor that she was just, her life had crumbled because he had told her she was disgusting. She jumps on the ledge, and they're all trying to get her down, trying to get her down, trying to get her down. And at the end of them trying, he tells her, the boyfriend tells her, I love you. She jumps off. She jumps off the roof of the building. So when she jumps off, she dies, obviously. You know, and then the song starts playing. And when the song starts playing, you know, my husband was explaining to me pretty much how the song goes with the scenario of that of the show. And the song was about pretty much like, I don't care how things are. I don't care. You know, she likes to feel numb, you know, and you could do all these drugs. And at the end of it, you're still not happy, you know. But it goes to show you that he pushed her. So when he pushed her off, that was the domestic part of it, the domestic violence part of it. As she kept coming onto him, he kept pushing her and pushing her. And they're like, don't touch her, don't touch her. But the domestic violence part was, he put his hands on her, and as he put his hands on her whole demeanor just crumbled from her, oh, you're disgusting, to her looking around to everyone around her, seeing that now she's embarrassed, now she's hurt, he's calling her disgusting. You know, she's still a little high. You know, she's not really out of it because you can see her face. So the moral of the story is the domestic violence can happen when you're sober. It can happen when you're high. But the feeling of love is not supposed to hurt. You're not supposed to feel pain from the person that's supposed to love you and protect you. You know, you're not supposed to feel, they're not supposed to put their hands on you. You're not supposed to put your hands on them. So I looked online tonight and I found that there was a actually a WNBA Sparks guard, Raquana Williams. She was suspended for 10 games without pay because she had a domestic violence situation with her girlfriend. So they ended up suspending her. She, you know, of course, you can't get, you won't get paid for it. But the end of it was like, okay, well, it was, you know, it was a fight. A fight took place. Okay, well, a fight took place and you put your hands on somebody. So because you put your hands on them, this is what happened. But I feel like they talked about it and then you didn't hear anything else about it. Because when I first found it, it was, I want to say, the end of July. This is August. I haven't heard anything else about it since then. When you think of the Chris Brown and Rihanna, you haven't heard anything else about it, the domestic violence that took place. They look terrible. Like, they really got into a fight. Nothing else about it. When Beyonce and Jay-Z, they got into it. You don't hear nothing else about it. You know, so my thing is when you look at the general eye of the nationwide of everyone, when someone that's a celebrity does domestic violence, you only hear a little bit of it. So do you feel like that affects the everyday average person that goes through domestic violence, that they don't talk about it? Because, hey, like, nothing's going to happen anyway. Nothing's going to happen to me if I say, okay, oh, well, you know, my boyfriend beat me up or whatever. What's your feedback on that? Do you feel like that's why the everyday average person don't say anything, because nothing gets done? Or do you feel like it's actually like a fear for their safety?
In my opinion, and I'm going to try to keep it short. I can only go in on my experience. But I can also, I can see why people would compare their situation to the celebrity situation, you know. However, in my experience and what I went through in domestic violence, I was afraid. I was afraid because if you, they would say, if you tell
then I'm going to do worse. I'm just going to be worse next time. Or
right.
They say, oh, I'm sorry. I love you. I apologize. I won't do it again. And then it escalated to, well, if you tell, I'll mess up your family, you know, whoever
right.
you tell or whoever, you know. And then I would call my family, and then by the time my family would get there, I'd be ashamed
right.
to tell them, you know. So I kept it to myself for a long time until it happened in front of people, and then
right.
that's when it came out. But then I was like, I love him, and I'm going to go back to him. So I made the excuse of, oh, no, I did something really bad to deserve it. Then I started feeling like I did deserve it because I get a little attitude, I roll my eyes, and then I start getting my ass, my butt beat on. You know, so,
right,
so many excuses
right.
I used for so long. I was so insecure and wasn't aware of myself. You know, I didn't have that self love. My self esteem was so low, and you know. And then it got to a point where, I joke about this, but really it's not funny. I got my weight up. You know, I got much heavier, and I could, you know, level off with him. So, and then my attitude really started kept coming out. I knew he was going to hit me, so I would hit first, you know?
Right, okay,
and then it
okay.
became so toxic. It became so toxic that it had to come to an end. So, But so many, you know, it just it shouldn't happen anyway. No domestic violence should be happening, whether you be the aggressor or whether, you know, someone else is the aggressor. Domestic violence is a no-no. There's always a way out, whether you separate, whether you, you know, seek counseling, whether you call the police, because I've also had orders of protection against this person, and then was, you know, get the order of protection lifted because I got back with this person, or, you know, I mean, there's always, it's just a no-no. In my book, in my experience, domestic violence is a no-no. There's always
right, and see,
a way
and see,
around.
I agree. You know, I agree with you. I want to say I've only had, you know, one situation. That was like back in the early 90s, I want to say. And when I say early 90s, I want to say early 90s, like 93 or something like that, you know. And with that situation, once it becomes physical, you know, then both parties are so enraged. You know, so with both people being so enraged with anger, it takes you to a whole nother level because now you can't express yourself because you're so angry instead of walking away. And which now, you know, as you know, you think of the situation. I know for me, when I speak about, you know, the domestic violence, when you think about the situation, you should make sure that when you get to that point that you can't control yourself and you can't calm down, you should walk away. Even if it's just taking a breather, you know, you have to walk away because I've been on both ends where you experience a situation, but then also you know of someone who is experiencing the situation. And initially you want to go and you want to protect them and you want to defend them and you want to, you're so angry now because that person has resorted to putting their hands on people where you get so upset that now you want to put your hands on that person. But I like to say now that I'm older, 40-ish, you know, I like to say that in life, I feel like when you say I love someone, I'm in love with someone, you shouldn't have to put your hands on that person for them to understand where you're coming from or to get your point across. You know, we have to remember that, yes, you may be a parent, but you're not that person's parent. So, therefore, if you came from, like, say, a household like ours, you know, where you did get a spanking, you know, if things, you know, if you misbehave and stuff like that. So you're not that held to a higher power where you can discipline that person. That's not what your role is supposed to be in their life, you know. As much as people say, oh, that's my daddy, that's my boo, it may be. That might be the nickname that you call them. But in all reality is that you don't have to be spanked and you don't have to be hit as if that's really your daddy, you know. There's a difference. There's a difference there. And I like to say I try to, like, research a little bit to see if it's really because that person watched domestic violence or that person has been a part of domestic violence themselves, have they been a victim, that that's why they're doing it and they're, you know, treating their partner that way? Or is it just something where it's a coward move? You know, it's a coward move where you know, you're really trying to do harm to that person. Because what happens when you really hurt them and that, yep. and you kill that person, then what? Then you have to carry that burden. And I want to just talk about how, you know, quickly, how people say, oh, you know, I get an order of protection. It's that, you know, the order of protection is a piece of paper. If you continue to go back to that person, then at the end of the day, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better because that person feels that you cried wolf. You know, you don't want to cry wolf in that situation. You want to run as fast as you can. And some people don't because they have kids and they can't take care of themselves. But let me tell you something. When there's a will, there's a way. You have to know your self-worth. You have to know your value. And you have to know that even if you gained 100 pounds being with that person, you're still your value and your worth is 100 times better. That's what I like to say. You know, not, oh, I gained weight and I'm not really, you know, feeling 100% and, you know, I'm not sexy, whatever the case may be. You have to think of, when you think of your weight, you have to say, you know, I'm 100 pounds more worthy than to be sick and be abused, you know, whether it's verbally, physically, emotionally, you name it. Like, you don't want to be treated, you know, like it's like a, you're a piece of scum. You want to make sure you're treated with the utmost respect. You want to know your self-worth and your value. So as us being moms and as we're raising our kids, these are things that we have to continuously remind them of: your value, your worth. You know, how you don't need to be with someone that's with someone else. You don't need to be with someone that puts their hands on you. Whether it's a lady, whether it's a man, it doesn't matter. Same sex, it doesn't make a difference. No matter what the situation is. For us, for me, I feel like if I have to put my hands on you, then I need not be with you. Because that says that, one, I don't respect you. Because if I could just haul off and I could pop you, then that lets you know that I don't respect you. I don't respect you at all. I don't respect the situation. I don't respect my kids. And we have to make sure that as parents that we kind of like install that in our children, whether it's a, you know, boy or a girl, you know, but definitely it's about 8:59. I did not realize it.
time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, and our show is from 8 to 9, you know, so pretty much, you know, I'll let you go first to give, you know, give your final for what, you know, on the topics. We pretty much did it, but, you know, if there's anything else you want to add to your final for what, then, you know.
Nothing more I want to add other than just great topics, great conversation. Definitely enjoyed tonight's show. And thanks to GQ Palace that we are able to, you know, to speak about these things. Big up to Rich Money and Storm, our CEO and our executive, and my sister Divas, Miss Storm and Miss Mobetta. Love you, ladies. And I'm going to pass on the mic.
All right. So, of course, my final thought is just when it comes down to the domestic violence, like I said, just know your value, know your worth, know that you're worth more than to be used as a punching bag. That's why they have gyms. Go to the gym. You don't have to put your hands on that person. You know, if you have to put your hands on that person, then maybe you should rethink the situation of if you need to be with that person, because then the person is only with you because they fear you, not because they love you, but because they fear what you're saying. They fear what you're doing. And for those of us that do know, you know, something about the word, they know that when we were installed on what's going on in life, that we were not given the spirit of fear. So we shouldn't fear you for what you're doing or how you might be hitting me verbally, emotionally, physically. We shouldn't fear you for that. Only thing we should fear is when that time comes and we're no longer here. That's what we should fear. But we shouldn't fear you, because you don't have the higher power. You're not held at that level where you can just take a life just because you want to. You can put your hands on people just because you want to. We have to raise our kids to know that you have worth, you have value, and you have to hold your head up high regardless of the situation and say, you know what, I am somebody. I am something, you know, and I may not be to you, but I'm something to me. So for the final thought, that's my final thought on domestic violence. And I'm going to say, you know, be careful as you involve yourself in situations where there is domestic violence, because you might involve yourself in the situation and then the next minute that person might still be with that person. So you want to make sure that as you're dealing with the situation that you're a neutral party but a positive person, encouraging the person to do the right thing. Leave the situation, leave the environment. You don't want to be the person that makes sure you're saying the negative things to the person, because they know all the negative, because that's what's instilled in their head. That's beaten in mm-hmm. their head already, the negative. They need all positive. They need the encouraging words, the words of encouragement to get them to move on and do the right thing. And then it's my final thought for the gun violence is, listen, if you have to bring a gun, you need not be there, you know. And
Amen.
That goes to anybody. If you have to bring a gun to wherever you go, then maybe you need not be at that place at that time because you feel that you can't defend yourself and you can't move around if you have a gun. If you see that there's a situation, remove yourself from the situation. Don't add fuel to the fire by bringing the gun, using the gun, because the bullet has not one name on it. The bullet, when they're designed, they don't have a name on those bullets. They don't have that name. Yeah. It can go to anybody. It can hit anybody. It can be anybody, and you could take their life. And 9 times out of 10, it's an innocent person. It's not even the person that you meant to shoot. 9 times out of 10, it's an innocent person. And if you have the courage and you have, you're such a strong person, then when you do get caught, don't cry mental illness. Take that, rot where you at, and do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, you chose to bring the gun. Now you suffer the consequences of that gun. Don't cry self-defense. Don't cry mental illness. It's none of that. Because you put yourself in that environment. You brought the weapon to where you brought it to. And now you need to be held accountable for what you did by any means necessary. That's my final thought on the gun violence. Yes, it's a wonderful show.
Yeah.
And you guys have a blessed and safe week. And look
through some pain, but I got through it. I don't walk up in the rain, but I got through it. They throwing dirt up on my name, but I got through it. I done almost went insane, but I got through it. Yeah, I've been through some pain, but I got through it. I don't walk up in the rain, but I got through it. They throwing dirt up on my name, but I got through it. I done almost went insane, but I got through it. Yeah, in this life, you never know what people going through. Everybody wanna talk down on me, they wanna judge you. You don't know my pain, and I don't know your pain. Don't judge a book by its cover, them pages ain't the same. Everybody go through hardships and hard times in life. It's a lot I did wrong that I gotta sacrifice. I done been on my own time, I done been on my own grind. I done walked through a lot of rain, now I'm hoping for sunshine. Everybody talking down on me, they said I wouldn't make it. I done hit a million views, see the look up on their face.
Fight. Oh, I've been through some pain, but I got through it. I don't walk up in the rain, but I got through it. 2008, I'd never get that phone call. My little brother, little man, he hit my line and said, bro, mama gone. I stood still, cried for a second, then my girl asked me what's wrong. I told her and she gave me a hug and said, baby, be strong. I'd have been lied on, talked about by the same people I die for. If I had to, I'd go to court, get on stand, tell the lie for. It'd be the ones you'll get your last, be the first ones that be in the back. The same ones you have when they was down, if the tables turned, that sit back and laugh. But that just made me smarter, wiser, and a better man. And even though it hurt, I know it's all a part God plan. So watch who you call friends and your so-called niggas, cause the one you'll take the bullet for sometimes behind the trip.
I've been through some pain, but I got through it. I don't walk up in the rain, but I got through it. They throwing dirt up on my name, but I got through it. I done almost went insane, but I got through it. Yeah, I've been through some pain, but I got through it. I done walked up in the rain, but I got through it. They throwing dirt up on my name, but I got through it. I done almost went insane, but I got through it. Yeah, I've been through some pain, but I got through it. I done walked up in the rain, but I got through it. They throwing dirt up on my name, but I got through it. I done almost went insane, but I got through it. Yeah.